Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, I'm just going to show my age. How many people remember a film called Sliding Doors? Oh, there's a few people, but yeah, we're not quite in the... Yes, we are in the minority. I was a bit shocked to find that it was 1998, which is a long time ago, a film starring Gwyneth Paltrow. So just for those of you who don't know the film begins with this lady, and she's basically running to catch a tube. And basically, she runs down the stairs just as the tube is leaving the station, and the doors close. And so she misses the tube, and then the film begins to unfold. And then what happens is we go back, and the same scene runs again. This time she's running down the stairs to the tube, and she just gets her hand in the door and manages to get in to the tube. And then she goes home. And you probably don't want to know the gory details, but basically because she gets home early, she discovers that her husband is having an affair. Actually, it's probably her boyfriend, I think it was, wasn't it? And then what happens is that the two stories begin to play out side by side in the film. So as the film now unfolds, you've got two storylines running. You've got the first storyline running with the girl on the left. And her life is sad. She's got very few opportunities. She's in a dead-end job. And you see the sadness of her life. And then the second storyline, which is running in parallel, everything changes. So she kicks her boyfriend out, she gets a new job, and she has a whole new start in life. Have I told that accurately, those of us who've seen it? And so you're wondering how it's going to end, because these two stories are running in parallel. Will they meet? Now, it's actually a very sad ending. This is not the point of my talk at all. The sad ending in this story is that, because, of course, the two lives can't carry on. And so actually what happens is that she dies. And it's actually the girl on the right who dies. But it reminds us how things absolutely can change in a moment. I don't know how many of you have had life-changing moments, but sometimes things that happen in a moment, they can go one way or another way. I mean, we could use a really trivial example like Spurs against Manchester City earlier this week. Tiny little moment, just offside, VAR. The conclusion was it was disallowed. And of course, Spurs went through. Yay! Unless you support Manchester City. And I hate that about sport. I hate the fact that sport just turns it on a moment. It's a bit of a trivial way of introducing the talk this evening, because The resurrection of Jesus absolutely changes everything. It's one of these life-changing moments. The whole trajectory of the story in the Gospels changes when Jesus is found not to be dead, but alive. Everything changes. And of course, the story in the Gospels takes on a dramatically different direction. And so there's a new and different ending to all four Gospels. And they tell the story in different ways of what happens as the disciples, the followers of Jesus, begin to realize he's not dead. Good Friday wasn't the end of the story. In fact, it's a brand new dramatic beginning. And so the Gospels end not with grief, but with joy. They end up with hope and not despair. And they end up with a message that can be proclaimed all around the world. And here we are, and I'm always amazed by this. Here we are in 2019. We're telling this story again, and it's still got something of that joy and excitement and that life-changing possibility, because Jesus did not just die and stay in the tomb. He's alive. He rose again. God has done the impossible. And that means that nothing is impossible for God. Now, I thought I would take a bit of a leaf out of Tim's book last week. It was 2 weeks ago, I think it was. I want to just look at, very, very briefly, what is the significance of the resurrection? Now, in fact, that's a hopeless task, because if you were to say, what is the significance of the resurrection? Well, you'd have to preach the whole of the New Testament, wouldn't you? Because that's where it's fully unpacked for us. But I want to just sort of suggest a couple of things that I think basically the results of the resurrection. And the first thing is this, that the resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he was. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he stands up and he has a glorious message to say. He said, this Jesus, do you remember the one who was going around Jerusalem? Great teacher. Apparently he did miracles and he was crucified on the cross. But you know what? It wasn't the end. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Jesus was who he says he was. That means he was the Son of God. He was God's Messiah. He was the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He was the prophet who foretold what was going to happen, because he told his disciples that he was going to be crucified and 3 days later he would rise again. Also, he was the king. Remember a week ago, Palm Sunday, they proclaimed Jesus as king. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, it is really true. Jesus is Israel's king. In fact, he's our king too. He's the king of the whole world. He really is who he says he was. And when Pilate had that sign put above his head, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, that's why he was crucified. And they tried to get Pilate to take that sign down and say, just why don't you write, he said he was the king of the Jews. And he said, no, what I've written, I have written. Jesus was Lord, Messiah, and King. Now, a little bit of history for you. How many people here have heard of Simon Bar Giora? James has heard of Simon. Anybody else heard of Simon Bar Giora? No? That's a surprise to me. In 69 AD, Simon Bar Giora led an uprising and was proclaimed king in Jerusalem. He led a rebellion against the Romans. He put himself on the throne and they welcomed him the way that they welcomed Jesus, as their king, the king of Israel. But the Romans weren't having anything to do with that. And so they came, and Titus came, and he invaded, and Simon Bar Giora was captured. He was taken off to Rome, and he was killed. Well, why do I tell that story? He died and has been forgotten, and none of us have ever heard of him. But Jesus came proclaiming He was proclaimed to be king. He died and was crucified by the Romans. And yet here we are. And we know that he didn't just die. He wasn't just a dot in history. He wasn't just a forgotten historical figure. Why was that? Because he rose again from the dead. If Jesus had been crucified on a Roman cross, history would have forgotten him. But because he died and rose again, he has not been forgotten. And some 2 billion people around the world today follow in some way or own the name of Jesus in their lives. The resurrection says that he was who he says he was. I love the song that we were just singing. The resurrection means that Jesus' death has a completely new meaning. The resurrection says it's got a completely new meaning. You see, if Jesus had not rose again, then basically Jesus was a failed teacher. He was a martyr. He would have been a forgotten figure in history. All of that teaching, I think, would have been forgotten. But because he rose again, his death took on a whole new meaning. We just sang, "He died for me." Isn't that an amazing thing? This Jesus who died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago, we're here singing, "He died for me." Why is that? Because his death has got huge significance for the whole world. Because we believe, don't we, that Jesus came, and when he died on the cross, he died to pay the penalty for sin. He died as a sacrifice so that everything that we've done wrong can be forgiven, and so that our relationship with our Heavenly Father can be restored and we can come into that personal relationship with him. And so the death of Jesus has got a dramatically different meaning. I mean, I wonder how long his followers would have kept on remembering his death if he hadn't risen again. I suspect it would have died out within a generation. He'd have been an inspirational teacher. He might have even been counted as somebody who lived a life of sacrifice. But it would have been forgotten. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends." And that's what we believe, don't we? We believe that he laid down his life for us. So the resurrection shows that Jesus was who he says he was. It gave a whole new meaning to his death. And so because of that, then basically the death and resurrection of Jesus is a message of good news for the whole world. You see, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, that was a complete work of salvation. That was God working out his salvation purposes in the world to win the world back to himself. It's a glorious gospel of the love of the Father coming to save a world that needed rescuing. It's a completed work. I'd love you to read the rest of Luke 24. It's a great chapter, and it's the story of how the light is just beginning to dawn as the disciples begin to realize the full significance of what has happened when Jesus rose again. And later on it says this: he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. If Jesus had died a sacrificial death, even if it had been well-meaning, I don't think it would have been good news. But because he died and rose again, it is good news. And then finally, and there's so many other things that you could say, but the resurrection of Jesus shows that the power of death has been broken. You remember the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and how dramatic was that? And when people realized that Jesus had the power to raise the dead, then of course they began to follow him, and there was a sort of stir in Jerusalem. And then Jesus says this: "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Because he rose again from the dead, we will rise again. Because he broke the power of death, then basically it has no power over us. And that means that we can look ahead to that day when we too will be raised from the dead. His death was not the end, and our death will not be the end. In this last week or so, one of our dear friends, our dear saints here at St. Giles Church, Keith Boddington, passed away and went to be with the Lord. But those who were with him in his last weeks know that he had a peace in his heart because he knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead. So he knew that he will be raised to be with his heavenly Father. I wonder if you know that for sure and for certain in your heart, that your death is not the end. I wonder if you know that your destiny is to be with your Father in heaven. Well, because Jesus is alive, because Jesus was raised from the dead, that can be our destiny along with him. The power of death is broken. I wonder whether you've seen this clip. We're going to show it in a moment. It's a clip from one of the Narnia films, and it's the clip of when the stone table is broken.
We should go.
Who has committed no treachery is killed in a traitor's stead. The stone table will crack, and even death itself would turn backwards.
We sent the news that you were dead. Peter and Edmund will have gone to war. We have to help them.
We will, dear one, but not alone. Climb on my back. We have far to go, and little time to get there.
It's a great way of telling that truth, isn't it? That when Jesus dies, the power of this great enemy, death itself, is broken. Jesus has triumphed over death. So we have this amazing life-changing event, the resurrection of Jesus, which does in fact change absolutely everything. It changes the course of human history. And here we are talking about it, living it, and celebrating it all these years later. And so the story that we had read by Chris is right back before the full significance is unveiled. And we have these people who begin to enter into the story for themselves. They begin to realize that the empty tomb means that he's alive. We hear about the women in the story, and they come back to tell the news. So what I just wanted to do for a minute or two, this is unscripted and unplanned, is that I want to find out a little bit about your story. So I want you to think for a moment, when did you first find out about Jesus? I don't know whether you would say you met Jesus, or you've invited him into your heart, or you realized that he died for you. You realized it was true. You realized he was who he said he was. I'd like you just to think about that. What's your story? And I'm going to run around the room, short and sweet. And I'm just going to sort of see where the microphone takes me. So, when did you first meet Jesus?
So I was 5 years old. I heard a gospel sermon in a little chapel in a village called Charlton, which is just down the road here, of a gospel preacher. And he told me that Jesus closed the gap between me and God if I put my trust in him. So I went home. It was explained beautifully. I went home, waited. My sister fell asleep, climbed out of bed, knelt by my bed and prayed exactly the words that I could remember that he'd prayed for us that night. And that's the night I consider that I became a Christian.
And how would you describe Jesus? What would you say?
Saviour. I think even then I understood I needed some help to get to God.
Your saviour. Phil, when would you first say you really knew Jesus?
I was brought up in a Christian home and attended a Western Reformed Union chapel in Rushton. And I suppose really as a child, I'd always gone to Sunday school, so I'd always been told about Jesus and about the miracles and everything and gone to church. I think sometimes up to maybe five times a day for Bible school and evening service and youth meetings and all sorts of things. And if you said to me, like, is there one moment when I gave my life to Christ? There isn't a specific moment. You know, there's not a shining light in a bolt of lightning that suddenly hit me. I think it's over a period of time you suddenly realise that God's grace has actually been falling upon you through all these saints and wonderful people in my past history.
Great.
That have been bringing me this message.
Great.
And it's God's grace that's actually brought me to himself.
Great. So that's a bit of a process then. Don't be scared. When was Jesus really real to you?
So really, really real was actually here at St Giles. So previously to then, I had this absolute connection from for as long as I can remember with God and always felt his presence. But only when I allowed myself to know him and to enter in a relationship with him. And that really was here at St Giles. It was actually a year ago today that I got baptised.
Wow.
More than a coincidence.
Great.
But previously, a couple of years before then, but when we actually had the baptism here, yeah, with you, it was when I surrendered. It was when I allowed, I realised that I was loved and that I entered into a relationship with Jesus. It's never stopped since.
I went to Sunday school and I prayed a prayer of commitment and asked Jesus into my heart when I was 11, which was back in 1969. And it didn't really make a huge amount of difference at that time. It was really when I went off to boarding school that I had to decide, you know, am I going to try and really follow Jesus or not? And it was then that I realized that Jesus really knew me and really loved me. And my life would be different if I really let him into my heart. And things started to happen. And it was the most thrilling, extraordinary, wonderful thing.
Thank you. Now, I would love to just keep going. Have you noticed how everybody's story is so different? I want to say that if you know Jesus, if he's in your life, you have a story to tell. And it's your story. And it's powerful and unique. You see, God has planted a seed into your heart. It's called the good news. The story of what Jesus is, what he's done, what he means to you is absolutely unique. And wouldn't it be great if we had an evening service where we just maybe spent the whole evening hearing one another's stories? God's plan to change the world was basically to plant the seed of the good news in the heart of people like you and me. But if we don't share it, it stops with us. Hallelujah. Those women did not keep it to themselves. And you will find what they found, which is the people may not believe you. But did it put them off? No. They just simply told it as it was. They shared their story. And the story of the resurrection is a story to be told. We don't necessarily need to tell them the events. We simply need to tell people what Jesus means to us. The fact that Jesus loves us. The fact that Jesus died for us. The fact that Jesus has changed my life. The fact that Jesus has changed the course of my life. I mean, I would say I became a Christian when I was 13 through a Christian friend at school, at secondary school. And just there was something different about his life. And I began to ask him why that was. And as a result of that, I made my own commitment to follow Jesus. I stopped swearing. In time, I began to stop losing my temper. And all of those things happened because of his life in my life. We all have a story to tell. But I want to say one other thing, just to draw it to a close. If we are to be people who live out this good news, who carry this story out into the world, because don't we want other people to meet Jesus as well? Don't we want them to know that he's alive? Don't we want them to know that his death on the cross was not the end? Don't we want them to know that their life can be changed, that they can find meaning and purpose and peace, that they can be forgiven, they can have a new start, they can have this relationship with their Heavenly Father? Don't we want them to know that? Well, if we are to share that news, if we're to give it away, if we're to plant that seed in the lives of other people, then we need the resurrection power at work in us. And that resurrection power is Holy Spirit power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Jesus would say this to his disciples. He would say, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." I wonder if we could just translate that, storytellers. You will be my storytellers. You will get the chance to tell your story. But he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And whether that means telling them what Jesus has done, or inviting them to Alpha, or inviting them to church, or in asking them if you can pray for them, we will need that same Holy Spirit power that those early disciples. Why? Because it takes courage if we're to share that story. Because we live in a hostile and skeptical world. And it's quite amazing that if people stop and really take the time to read the gospel stories and to read these accounts, actually, time and time again, people who read them systematically and carefully come to the conclusion, it has to be true. But quite often people just don't do that. They just dismiss them, and they might dismiss our story as well. And so we are going to need courage and boldness. We're going to need Holy Spirit power if we are to pass this message on to the rest of the world. Not only will we need power, but I believe as well that we need sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you for a minute, you know, what is your community of people who don't know Jesus? Just think about the people that you're in contact with. I want to tell you about a little community of people that I'm getting to know. I take Molly for a walk nearly every day down to Beckett's Park, and I'm gradually getting to know a little community of people in Beckett's Park. So I know a guy called James who's homeless, and he's nearly always in Beckett's Park. We're now talking. He smiles when I see him. He's got a dog now. He's got a girlfriend now. And we're building a little relationship. But it's not yet at the point where I feel I could really speak about Jesus. There's another guy I meet, and he's a doctor. He's yet to tell me his name. But he's very often walking in Beckett's Park or walking up here into town early in the morning when I'm out for Molly. And we quite often just, we exchange little looks. We say good morning. He smiles now. We've had a few conversations, but he's not yet told me his name. And then about 6 months ago, I met a young girl in Beckett's Park. It was raining. It was quite a miserable day, actually. And she was sitting in the middle of the park all alone. And I thought that was unusual. And I'm trying to be open and listening to the Holy Spirit as I go around. And so I walk past her. I walk down to the play park. And then I walk back up along, and she's still sitting in the middle of the park. And I just felt God saying, "You've got to go and speak to her. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? Just tell her that I know her and I love her and I'm concerned for her." I had Molly with me. So I just walked up across the grass, and there she was, still sitting in the rain. And I just said, "You know, I think God's got a message for you. You're not alone. And he wants you to know that he knows you and he loves you." And a conversation began. Molly helped considerably in that conversation. The only way that we could get this girl actually to get up and to travel back home was to ask her to take Molly for a walk. And so began that walk back home again. on Good Friday, spoke to this young lady and she said, I'd like to be baptized. And there's a journey that's been happening over those 6 months. Folks, if we are to share this good news, if other people are to discover the life-changing power of the resurrection of Jesus, we will need his courage. We will need boldness. We will need his power. We will need that when we step out and when we share our story. We'll need it when we're laughed at. We will need it when people are skeptical. And I believe we will also need the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit so that we'll know what to say, when to say it, how to say it, when is the right time, and in that moment to share with that person the right thing for their situation. Shall we stand? Let's stand together. I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit would rest upon us. I want to pray that he would reawaken the joy of what Jesus has done for us. And I want to pray for courage. And I want to pray that he'll use us to take this life-changing message wherever we go. So let's just simply pray. Come, Holy Spirit, rest upon us now. Holy Spirit, we need your power in our lives. Would you just baptize us afresh with courage and boldness? May we have the gift of discernment and sensitivity. Holy Spirit, would you use us? Come, Holy Spirit. I'd like just to invite you in the quietness of your heart. Just pray and ask him to use you, to give you his power, to lead you and guide you to others. Just between you and God now, ask for more of his Holy Spirit. Father, without you, we're afraid, we're weak, we're flawed, and yet we look to you for your help and strength, for your power and your leading in our lives. Lord, may this wonderful love story that has transformed our hearts, Lord, may it go out from this church, out from our lives, to all of those who need to hear it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.